When I was doing my PhD a few years ago at MIT, one of my advisors, Chris Warshaw, and I were very interested in renewable energy laws. That's what I ended up writing my dissertation about. I've written a lot of articles and done work about it. And we wanted to understand, how do these policies come to be? How do they get passed? What does the public think about them? Because in a democracy, we often think that what the public thinks about an issue should matter for the kinds of policies that we actually see passed and implemented. So we got a grant, and we wanted to sort of understand what does the public think about this, and build on work that had been done by other really smart political scientists asking questions about what the public thinks about energy, including Eric Smith, who's another professor in the political science department at UCSB and is really a pioneer in energy public opinion work. But we wanted to extend some of that work to renewable energy laws, because renewable energy is a much newer technology. The public doesn't necessarily know what these things are, wind and solar. And so we wanted to kind of understand, what do they think about these policies, and how can we get them to sort of like them more?
And what was your research design for this study?
So there had been another book that came out a few years ago called Clean and Cheap, by people who used to also be affiliated with MIT and who have been doing work on renewable energy and different energy sources and public opinion. And what they found in that book was basically that people like inexpensive energy and they like clean energy. But the way that the questions were designed in that study was, they sort of first asked people, what do you think about solar? And then they said, how much do you think solar costs? And people would say that they thought solar was cheap, because, of course, you know, you don't have to pay to get solar energy, the actual energy source. It just comes from the sun. So it's understandable that people would think that solar energy was cheap. In reality, of course, you have to pay for the solar panels. And so the next thing that this study did was they sort of updated people and told them, actually, no, solar energy is a new technology, so it's very expensive. There hasn't been a lot of innovation in it yet. And, you know, this study took place like a decade ago, the original survey questions. And so people then said, what? I don't really like solar as much because it's expensive. And so we wanted to build on that study and try to understand, well, what if, rather than asking people, what do you think about these technologies that they may or may not know things about, like their cost or their, you know, how clean or dirty they are, what if we just kind of informed people about how expensive these technologies were or how clean they were? And we would do that using what's called a survey experiment. And so a survey experiment basically shows different people different information and then takes the differences between how people respond as a treatment effect. So we would randomly show some proportion of our survey respondents information about how clean renewable energy is, and not show other people any information about how clean or dirty renewable energy is. And that would be the control group. And we would compare the treated group that saw the information about how clean or dirty these sources were to the group that didn't see that, and look at the difference in how much they like these policies, and then back out the treatment effect. And we actually did this in a kind of novel way, in that a lot of survey studies just ask people, do you like something? Do you like solar energy? Yes or no? What we did was we tried to get the person thinking about energy in a more complex way by saying a bunch of different attributes of a bill that might be passed. So we said, there's a bill, it might be passed in your state legislature, here's some information about it. And we showed them up to 5 different pieces of information. So some would be shown information about how dirty it was, some would be shown how expensive it was, some would be shown some of the goals about it, such as increasing jobs or dealing with climate change, and others would be shown information about who was supporting the bill. And, you know, other political scientists have used this approach to try to get people thinking in a more complex way about why they would or would not support a policy, and then back out sort of the reasons why different frames, different information would increase people's support or not. So that survey experiment with a number of different simultaneous treatments is a bit of a more complex way to do public opinion research that allows us to experimentally figure out the causal effects of giving information to people on how much they would support or oppose renewable energy.
And what were your findings?
So we actually ran this study a few times just because we took a while to publish it. And the interesting thing is we kept finding the same results. So we wanted to test some of the hypotheses coming out of the work of David Kaniski and Steven Salbaher, as well as Eric Smith at UCSB. And so we used the same kinds of questions, like does cleanliness, like air quality or pollution, does that matter for how people think about energy sources? Does cost matter? So we found that cost is actually very important, much like that Clean and Cheap book found, that increasing somebody's electricity bill by $2 on average a month would really decrease support for the bill. And that's the kind of decrease that we could conceivably see with the types of laws that have been passed. $2 a month is a realistic estimate. We also put a much larger estimate of, let's say it increased your electricity bill by $10 a month. And that's the kind of increase we would expect in maybe a decade or two when we have a lot more renewable energy happening and the full costs of that have come online. And that really decreased support for the bill. So we basically found on cost that people are very sensitive to cost increases. And that suggests that when regulators or policymakers, legislators are designing laws for to increase renewable energy, they should be thinking very carefully about who pays for renewable energy. It's a decision whether or not ratepayers, through their electricity bills, average citizens pay for this, or if other groups like corporations, large electricity consumers pay. And at least in the past, what I found in qualitative work looking at how these renewable energy laws have been passed and implemented, mostly large industrial energy consumers like chemical plants or manufacturing plants, they actually opt out of paying for the costs altogether because they're able to lobby to say, well, we don't want to pay for those costs. And as a result, they don't have to. This is sort of a classic collective action problem where big groups in society can easily lobby for their interests, but diffuse interests that the public might hold have a much harder time getting their ideas into law. So, you know, we should be careful about passing all these costs on to consumers. Hmm. In terms of jobs, you know, jobs has been a really important reason why renewable energy laws have been passed and how they've been justified in a lot of different states. And we did find that if we tell people that these are likely to increase jobs, like create thousands of new jobs in a state, which is realistic given some estimates of what these laws do when they're passed, that really did increase support. About the same size as in inverse, it decreased support for the $2 a month cost. So that's a pretty big effect. And it suggests that focusing on job creation and communicating that to the public is an important way to increase support. We also looked at air pollution, the other hypothesis from that Clean and Cheap book. And we found that, yes, reducing air pollution is particularly important to increasing support for these bills. And, you know, people might not think that when you use less coal and more renewable energy that you decrease the amount of mercury in the air or sulfur dioxide or particulate matter, smog, and pollution. But in fact, you do. That's a really big benefit from switching from dirty to clean energy. We then sort of thought about climate change because climate change is often the reason why these laws are passed, or it's part of the reason along with jobs and air quality and other issues. And perhaps unsurprisingly, given past research on this question, climate change didn't really move anybody. So it's probably the case that people already have made up their mind based on partisan leanings, whether or not they believe in or support climate change. Another professor in our department, Matt O'Mildenberger, has done really interesting work showing that there's been big partisan polarizations on climate change. And so, you know, people have kind of made up their mind on this issue, and it's unlikely that just reminding people about climate change is going to change anybody's opinion about renewable energy. And finally, we sort of thought about a classic theory from political science, which is about partisan leadership. And so there's a professor at UC Berkeley who's written a book called Follow the Leader, Gabe Lenz, and he says, you know, citizens don't really come up with their own policy ideas. They look to their co-partisans. Maybe they look up to like Elizabeth Warren if they're a Democrat, or they look up to Mike Pence if they're a Republican. And they sort of say, well, what does she think about this issue? Or what does he think about this issue? And they align their policy preferences to elites, to politicians. And so we said, well, what if we told people that Republicans supported this law, which is realistic because a lot of Republicans have supported renewable energy laws in state legislatures in the past. And we did find that Republicans were more likely to support a bill if they believed that Republican politicians were taking leadership on this issue. And similarly, Democrats were more likely, if they believe Democrats, were taking leadership on this issue. What's really nice is that if we tell a Democrat, hey, Republicans are leading on this issue, it doesn't decrease their support. So it doesn't make a Democrat say, oh God, if the Republicans like it, I don't like it. And similarly, if we tell Republicans Democrats like this, that also doesn't decrease their support. So there's not really a cost to providing partisan leadership. It just moves co-partisans and it doesn't affect people on the other side.
In your study, you explore the effects of policy framing on Democrats versus Republicans. Can you just explain the differences that policy framing has on these two groups?
Yeah, so the big result is the one I just talked about, which is that Republicans respond to Republican leadership. So if they believe that there are Republican politicians in their state championing these issues, they're more likely to say, yeah, I support that policy as well. And that really suggests that we need more Republican leadership on renewable energy. This is something that we've had in the past. You know, Texas passed a renewable energy law before California did when George W. Bush was the governor. And there have been some Republicans in the past in the Congress who have taken leadership on this issue. But right now, with the way climate change has become polarized and how that's become sort of lumped in with renewable energy, we've stopped seeing that kind of leadership. And so we really need to see more Republican champions, people like Bob Inglis, who is trying to reignite the importance of conservation as a value within the conservative movement and trying to create leadership on environmental issues within the Republican Party. So that's the main issue. But in addition, you know, both Democrats and Republicans, they responded about equally to cost increases. Neither of them liked it. But, you know, Republicans were particularly responsive to air pollution. So it just could be the case that Republicans don't remember or think about the fact that clean energy, renewable energy, improves air quality. And, you know, air quality on a local scale is something that everybody cares about, regardless of their partisan affiliation. So it could just be the case that Democrats already associate renewable energy with clean air, but that reminding Republicans that, hey, this is going to benefit you through clean air can be a really important way to try to bring more Republicans back on board with renewable energy as an issue.
And what are the implications of your findings?
Well, what we show is that there's a very strong correlation between where renewable energy laws exist and where public opinion support is high. And so what we think that means is that if we can increase public support for these issues, that can help create leadership at the state level to pass new laws. And it's not just that the public holds a belief and therefore politicians respond. It's that interest groups like renewable energy advocates, whether those are NGOs or solar companies, wind companies, you know, they use public opinion and they go to politicians and they say, hey, this is something that the public cares about. So if we're able to say, look, Republicans really care about air pollution and renewable energy helps fix that problem. Or if we're able to say, hey, if you take leadership on this issue, look, more Republican people in your district will also support it. You know, that's how public opinion gets translated into policy change. You have these brokers, interest groups, who go to the politicians and say, look, this is what the public's thinking. Because politicians themselves, I show this in other work looking at congressional staffers, they don't actually know what the public wants or thinks in their district. But interest groups can really use public opinion polls to communicate public preferences to politicians. And I think overall, you know, support for renewable energy is very high. It's really high among Democrats, like on the order of 80 or 90%, and it's only about 1 in 2 for Republicans. But with this increased emphasis on Republican leadership, on air quality, on job creation, we can probably move another 10% or so of Republicans. And, you know, 6 out of 10 Republicans supporting an issue is actually a pretty strong amount in American politics. We often see really big polarization on issues. And so, you know, that's the kind of thing that if a Republican state legislator took leadership on, they could really see benefits in terms of their support back in their home district.